This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Thursday, 23rd of March, 2023. We are in a very different place this morning, I think, in terms of the fundamental backdrop here, but absolutely not because of anything that happened at the FOMC meeting, but because of Treasury Secretary Yellen's comments. I'll just read the quote straight up here. Quote, "I have not considered or discussed anything having to do with blanket insurance or guarantees of deposits." I guess we can say the word boom, because that's what hit the markets. And it was during Fed Chair Powell's press conference last night. So that was a bit of a distraction as we were all sitting there trying to look at his words and what he was saying. And basically the market was thumbing its nose thoroughly at both the Fed rate hike and the fact that their forward forecasts were unchanged, although we will look at the statement and show that it did clearly see the Fed raising its level of concern here on the market because of credit concerns from this recent turmoil. They did not change their forecast, but there's a clear shift in their stance here. But that's those Yellen comments spooking the bank sector thoroughly once more. We're going to have a lot to talk through on that front. And we saw the broader averages down quite heavily across the board, really, in U.S. stocks from the highs. And then this weird bounce overnight, apparently, I think, triggered by some comments from Tencent, and those read into the quality of the recovery in China being quite strong here. But that was a bit of a ball of things to dump right up the top of the program here. Peter, what do you want to pick up from what I just said there? And you've got this global industry group focus here, which I think is quite interesting as well, on slide 2 of today's slide deck.
Yeah, my comment was basically, could she have said anything else than that? Because, I mean, as we talked about in the team, if there is a full explicit guarantee of all uninsured deposits, what's the whole concept of having a banking system if you don't risk taking on the balance sheet with these deposits? So of course she has had to say that, and I think that it was important to kill that narrative that was building in the market that we are going to get this full guarantee. So I think that sets it up for a very interesting trading session, because and we'll talk about it in a few seconds, but I just want to highlight quickly on the global industry group's overview there. I highlighted an internal note as well here in the bank that, you know, real estate companies were looking very weak yesterday. It was not only in the US, it was in particular here in Europe. And I've talked about it before, especially Sweden. It seems like the market is really zooming in on that country and the country's banks. So we'll be watching real estate companies again today. And I think the focus point, I'm jumping a little bit here, is slide 4, because the statement from Yellen will put arguably more pressure on US regional banks. And as you can see here on slide 4, there is still a huge gap between the what you can get in the 3 months treasury yield versus what is the average 3 months time deposit rate in the US. And that gap will probably be closer. I think, you know, it could cause more pressure on the deposits. And why this is very interesting from a credit angle and the economy? Well, this chart to the left on slide 4 is from Christopher Dembig, our economist down in our Paris office. And he pointed out a very important point, that if you go outside the top 25 banks in the US, then they are accounting for 67% of real estate lending. And they are not in the same financial position, as you can see. These are loans to deposit rates. So they have much more loans to the economy relative to the deposits. So they're not as financialized, as you will. So I think this is a very, very, very important dynamic to understand. And it will be something we'll be talking much more about.
All right, let's pick it up there. Let's look at the FOMC statement itself, because what we saw was, as noted, the forecast on the dot plot largely unchanged. The market was happy to ignore that and marked it where it pleased. And we saw the dollar actually selling off, which was rather interesting, and probably selling off because the market knows that if the situation goes where it thinks it's going to go, the Fed will react accordingly. But there was, to be fair, in the press conference, Powell did mention that they did discuss not hiking rates as they did. The market clearly pricing that this was the last cut, although there is some residual odds of another 25 basis point move. But you can see in the statement change that I put up on slide 3 here, the mention of the banking system. I think this is, of course, going to be prudent to have inserted this language, because there will be credit concerns for households and businesses, and that will weigh on economic activity, hiring, and inflation. The impact into credit, which was already tightening, as I'll show in a moment, can only have gotten far, far worse from this, as we discuss about fleeing deposits and so on. Is it going to change the attitude towards lending when your deposit base is leaving your bank? And on that note, hopping, leapfrogging again of a couple of slides here. If you go to slide 6 there, this chart is of the U.S. credit standards. They were already tightening. The data on that chart is through January. You can see the sort of the delta there, and that is, you know, is a classic thing, is that eventually, as credit standards tighten, credit is the lifeblood of the economy, that this does eventually get you into a recession. And that recession has been brought forward by these latest events. And then a couple more notes there, slide five. So yes, the U.S. two-year yield a bit lower, more on Yellen's comments than on sort of fresh input, I think, on the market's reading of the Fed or anything. And then that regional bank index, very critical there, suffering close to the lowest close for the cycle, risk of very high risk of an actual stampede, an actual bank run that kicks off, maybe have kicked off as recently as last night, but certainly in today's business session. So anybody with significant deposits at a regional or smaller bank may be unsettled, maybe should be unsettled by this. And we will certainly have to track all banks that are listed and that we can track in the open market session on Thursday. This certainly will be the focus. Banking stocks will be the number one sort of proxy for up and down across risk assets, et cetera. So yeah, plenty to focus on there. There was an estimate by a JP Morgan analyst I saw in a Bloomberg article discussing his analysis that there had been maybe some $1 trillion of deposits withdrawn from, quote, vulnerable banks. I don't know what that was in that subcategory. And about half of that had happened since the Silicon Valley Bank debacle of 2 weeks ago. If there's a massive acceleration of that, that eventually it's going to trigger something systemic, a cry for help, some response. But this is the dynamic that is risked being unleashed by Yellen's comments here. Even if they can't do, as Peter mentioned this early in the game, talk about blanket guarantees of any deposit level. All right, so if we look at the reaction in the currency space, we saw, again, the dollar weaker, especially against the euro. Euro-dollar well above 109. 110 is the next big level there. That was a big pivot point higher. Dollar yen also heavy, but to my mind, not really performing that strongly relative to what you might expect from these yields coming back in lower. And then we had that hot CPI inflation data yesterday from the UK. One of the submetrics within that CPI release, this core services, is actually still, even though it jumped in February, still below where the Bank of England had been forecasting it. We know the Bank of England is well, wily, to say the least, on what they actually deliver, but reluctant to continue tightening and was looking for excuses to pause. So could we get a surprise there on the negative side? The market is certainly expecting, with very high odds, that they do hike 25 basis points today. But I suspect there'll be a grudging hike and with lots of hemming and hawing on the forward guidance still. So I wouldn't expect a distinctly hawkish Bank of England just yet. I think they would really have to be beaten over the head with another few months of high inflation data before shifting their view more firmly. And then we had the Swiss National Bank out this morning, hiking rates 50 basis points to 1.5% as expected. And we saw Euro-Swiss falling on that decision. Obviously, with the Credit Suisse focus, you would think that maybe this could give the S&P pause, but maybe it's one of these sort of like the ECB. We're not going to be distracted by this, and all systems normal. Kind of a message, just trying to deliver to markets with that. Norges Bank up shortly, and you can see there's been quite a rebound in the Norwegian krona. All right, obviously, with a look at the risk of Fed rate cuts coming back in much higher because of, ironically, what Treasury Secretary Yellen was saying and the potential impacts into the banking system and therefore credit. We're seeing those yields lower. We're seeing the dollar lower. We're seeing a nice response here in gold back towards the 2000 level. Didn't quite get there, but a big bounce from the consolidation lows there, Ole.
Yes, indeed. And the developments over the last 12 to 24 hours, I think most certainly should support gold staying in this uptrend that we have been in since October, November last year. I think the main concern from the market right now is probably that massive gap between what the market expects and what the FOMC is signaling through its dot plot. We can just look at the by end of this year, there's almost a 1% gap between what the market expect in terms of rate cuts and the FOMC holding on to ending the year around 5.1%. So with that in mind, the market's still just guessing a little bit when are we going to see peak rate, which I think will trigger the next leg higher. But generally, with the dollar trading down for a sixth session in a row, with yields under pressure here, then it's difficult not to see any not to project a further upside for gold in the short term. And also, I think just the correction we had this past week following that very, very strong run up from the early parts of March, that was only 38.2, so basically a relatively weak correction within in a strong uptrend. So that is obviously the key level in terms of support right now. And let's keep an eye on that 2000 level, whether we can take that out or not.
Yeah, and we need to keep our eye on the ball on banks. So Peter, you've got your overview there on slide 9, but there are a couple of very interesting other stories that are circulating around as well that you mentioned here.
Yeah, I mean, first, as we start with the banks, we're on slide 9, by the way. Our big banking monitor table of the largest banks representing $38 trillion worth of assets in dollar terms across a lot of European here and U.S. banks. If you look at the weakest banks yesterday, obviously in the U.S. session, also because of the statement, but it was Charles Schwab, U.S. Bank Corp, and First Republic. So those three that has been those three banks that have been weak lately were also the weakest yesterday. So, but we'll keep a tight watch on banks. And also, as I said in our internal call, it's very clear now post the Credit Suisse takeover that the AT1 capital market has really got itself a higher risk premium here. We're seeing significantly high interest rate levels across this AT1 market, which is the one of the key funding sources for Tier 1 capital for European banks. And at the current interest rate level, there's not a lot of room for shareholder value because a lot of the European banks are simply not delivering return on equity that is beyond this AT1 one capital market interest rate. So this is something we're going to follow as well. And then Tencent really lifted the Asian session. Shares were up 7%. It's the largest technology company in China. And it was not so much the result itself because that was pretty much in line, except for the online advertising business surprised to the upside. And then the management did a statement where they said they're getting very optimistic comments and signals from advertisers on forward-looking, you know, ad placement. And the advertising industry is a leading indicator in an economy because it signals your intention and your expectations for demand and also how much money you are willing to spend on growth. So this is the first sign, I think, credible sign that we are getting that, you know, the Chinese reopening is slowly picking up speed here. That's at least the sentiment we're getting out of Tencent, which reported yesterday, I should say, but the reaction came today. And then Coinbase, last story in our stocks to watch today, they announced to the market yesterday that they have now received a wealth notice from the SEC, which is basically means that there is an enforcement action coming towards Coinbase. And they themselves don't know exactly which part of the business, but they're speculating themselves in a statement that it could be their spot market or their Coinbase Prime solution, which is the combined offering they're doing for institutions. The shares started down being down 5%, and then it just extended in the after hour trading, and they ended the extended trading hours by being down 10%. So a big hit there to Coinbase, and which is the largest publicly traded cryptocurrency exchange. So this, I think, is a pretty important story, especially given the momentum that we have seen in the crypto industry this year.
All right. And then I don't know if you want to cover the earnings we have up today and, through tomorrow, really, as well.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Darden Restaurants and Accenture are the two ones to follow today. They both report before the market opens. And Darden Restaurants has a pretty strong franchise and had recently shown very robust same-store sales figures. As you know, what they have done is that they have the capacity and the economic muscles to not raise menu prices faster than inflation to keep customers coming into their restaurant. So that has been a very good strategy so far. And you can also see from the analyst expectation for revenue growth and operating income in the coming quarters, that's on slide 10. You can see here it's a very solid business that is just growing in line with inflation. And then Accenture is expected to see its revenue growth rate decline pretty significantly to only a 3% year-over-year growth rate, which is a significant decline from just a year ago. And that's because Accenture sells consultancy services, but also different IT services solutions. So and spending generally on technology and consultants are going down as companies are doing cost-cutting exercises.
All right. As noted, we have other central banks in the mix today with the S&P already out this morning. Norges Bank coming up very shortly. We'll be out before the vast majority of you are listening to this podcast. Bank of England would not surprise me that much if they don't hike today, even though they should and even though the market expects them to, again, given their grudging path of their rate hikes to date and their clear searching around for excuses to pause. So if they do deliver a 25 basis point hike, it may be a dovish hike. if the guidance is sufficiently skeptical on further rate rises from here in the statement. So a dovish hike, a potential outcome there. The latest claims data out of the U.S. Is up today. It's the weekly claims data day. And we have other bits and pieces, including the natural gas storage change, as natural gas has really suffered a big downdraft in prices of late in the U.S. And the latest Japanese national CPI data is up tonight. The last data point of note on the inflation front ahead of the turn of the calendar year in Japan, financial calendar year, I should say. And Eurozone March flash PMIs. These are interesting. These are up tomorrow. Okay, so it's, I think, a pretty nervy session could lie ahead. The market seems quite calm here, a little bit surprisingly so, given the way we closed yesterday and the concern afoot, I think justifiably so, that there could be depositor flight from some of these banks in the U.S., and that's just, that situation could easily, you know, put the latest round of systemic pressures, something echoing at least what we saw post SVB, post the Credit Suisse situation, etc. So let's stay on our toes, and we'll see where things stand tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.